CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome David Henderson of the Hoover Institution to help me understand the presentation by the Biden administration about taxes, especially taxing the rich. David is a research fellow with the Hoover Institution, but most importantly, for the purposes of this conversation, he's a professor of economics at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. California. I begin with California, much in the news. A joyful state. Every time I've been there, the weather's been perfect. And I think, when do you have something like we have on the East Coast? A cloudy day? Apparently never. But right now, there are clouds gathering over California because the president has proposed a tax hike on the rich to do with many moving parts, but capital gains, a tax hike that, if I understand correctly, and I can't do this on paper, I can just do it by talking, that if you take the president's capital gains proposal north of 43% and add in state taxes and everything else, what you're getting is a tax rate above 50% in certain states such as California. So, David, you have written very carefully about this tax hike, especially the capital gains part, and address your remarks eventually to California. What does this do for the prospects of California's bounty, which I understand during the pandemic was great because of Silicon Valley? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. Here's what it does. If this proposal goes through, we know, and there's no controversy about this, that in the short run, the amount of capital gains that people will realize will fall, because the choice to realize capital gains, and you do that by selling an asset, is, after all, a choice. And so you can hold off. You can hold off till you get a new administration. You can hold off till something else happens. And so there will be fewer capital gains realized if this tax rate goes up. Now, the feds can argue, well, the tax rate goes up, the amount of gains go down, maybe the overall revenue goes up, and maybe that's true. But here's what we know for California. The amount of capital gains revenue for California will definitely fall, because California is not raising the capital gains tax rate. Their top rate on high-income people is now 13.3%. So with fewer realizations at the federal level, or fewer capital gains realizations, 13.3% times a smaller number is a smaller number. And so we will get, or we, meaning the California state government, will get less revenue because of this. And that's why I point out in my article that the people who should be among the strongest opponents of the Biden capital gains tax increase are California Democrats, especially in the legislature.
It has been explained to me, David, that California exists entirely on the basis of the success of Silicon Valley, that the revenues there pay for everything else, including most recently proposals by Governor Newsom. I think he's giving away, how many billions was it? The 12 billion here and 50 billion there, and checks for everybody. That all comes from one place, Silicon Valley. Is that an urban legend or is that accurate?
It's an urban legend, but an urban legend related to reality. If you look at counties, and someone has this, I wish I had it handy. Someone has looked at the various counties in California and what percent of tax revenue comes from those counties. And Northern California counties amount to a hugely disproportionate percentage of that. And so, yeah, if you have people in Silicon Valley saying, you know what, I'm going to hold off a couple of years on realizing this gain, that has enormous implications for the revenue that's going to the state government, because the state government depends heavily on income tax revenue, within that, income tax revenue from high-income people, and within that, capital gains tax revenue from high-income people.
Some years ago, Governor Brown proposed a tax hike, as I recall. It had to do with education. I don't know what eventually happened to it. It seems like 100 years ago. But what I learned at the time was that people were voting with their feet, saying we do not need to pay these taxes, and they were regarded as especially overreaching, because eventually they went into the general fund and nothing to do with education, or the education part was a selling point. People left the state, and we have evidence of that now, David, with loss of one seat, even though it will be contested in court. We have evidence of that now because of the number of large businesses, major Oracle, Hewlett Packard, moving out of the state or taking a large part of its high-end workforce to other states such as Texas and Florida. I know Silicon Valley is moving to Florida because they're welcome there. Now, all of that All of that is a result of high taxation years ago for Jerry Brown. Do we think that that will also be part of the story if the capital gains goes to 43%?
Well, not exactly, because, of course, it's a federal decision. So whether they move to Florida or Texas or whatever, they're still going to pay that high federal rate. So it is true that high marginal tax rates in California are driving people to leave. I'm not seeing that necessarily this Biden tax increase will drive people to leave more than they would have. But what it will do, and this is why, what this is my emphasis, it will reduce tax revenues for the California government. And as you know, California Democrats in the legislature, it is essentially a one-party state. California Democrats in the legislature love to spend, and they'll have less to spend.
Let's look at capital gains for the rest of us, the other 49 states, such as here in the Blue East, all right? You've written very carefully that taxes hurt people who don't even, who never pay. Capital gains tax hurts people who never pay. How so? What's the logic?
Okay, there are two things, among others, that economists are very sure of. One is that saving is required for investment, and the other is that investment is required for growth in per capita income. And if you don't have as much investment, you don't have as much growth. Capital gains tax are a huge penalty for saving and investment. And so, therefore, there'll be less saving, less investment, and lower growth of per capita GDP, per capita income. And that hits people even if they never in their life pay a capital gains tax.
So what we have here is a disincentive. Raising the capital gains is a disincentive, especially for the workforce that doesn't pay capital gains. Another intricate detail about raising the capital gains is that we're taxing inflation. Now, inflation is the buzzword right now, David. Everybody's running around screaming inflation, and a couple of really wise people over there are saying temporary and smiling. But in any event, how does capital gains tax inflation?
Well, actually, this is a term I actually think I came up with. I've never seen that anyone before me. Capital gains taxation is, when it taxes just the inflation part, is a tax on a phantom gain. And so even with low inflation over a long time, you get a lot of cumulative inflation. So let's say you paid $100 20 years ago for a stock. Well, just with inflation, it should have hit 150 just with 2% inflation for 20 years compounded. And so let's say you sell it for 180. You pay a capital gains tax on that whole 80. 50 of that 80 is a phantom gain, but you're paying tax on the whole thing. And that just is incredibly unfair.
We also have a general understanding that reducing capital gains increases revenue. Now, again, is that an urban legend? Because there is a lot of chatter in Wall Street that after the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, Wall Street accelerated.
Well, it isn't an urban legend. It's just an empirical issue. Cutting the capital gains tax rate does increase capital gains realizations. So the question is, do capital gains realizations go up enough to offset that drop in the tax rate? It's close to a wash, which means, you know, it goes up by, it goes, the capital gains tax revenues, capital gains realized go up by roughly the same percent the tax rate fell. But that means it's a very inefficient tax if you aren't even collecting much additional revenue out of it.
And therefore, we can see that one, I'm speculating now, but I'm trying to imagine, presuming that that President Biden gets what he proposes with reconciliation and the tax, the capital gains tax is raised to 43%. Does that mean that we can translate what we've already discussed about California to the national picture, that the revenue in Washington will decline?
No, my gut feel is it'll go up a little. But so he's advocating essentially a doubling of the capital gains tax rate for high-income people. You won't get nearly a doubling of revenue. My gut feels you'll get a 40 to 60% increase in revenue. So it's, again, it's evidence that it's a very inefficient tax. And again, the place not mainly to look is, don't look mainly at revenue. Look at economic growth. This is going to hurt economic growth.
And because of that, the whole thing is not a wise decision, but it is something that the politics suggests is possible now. Where did he find the 43? Where did the Biden administration find the 43%? Is that meant to match our salary income? Is that why they're looking for fairness here?
No, there's this 39.6 that has just become this amazing number everyone wants to go to. So when Clinton raised the top tax rate to 39.6 in 1993, and then it was cut by Bush to 35, and then it was raised by Obama to 39.6, and then cut by Trump to 37, they always seem to want to go back to 39.6. So then there's that 3.8% extra tax for high-income people, and that's how you get to the 43.
David Henderson, an economist writing about the capital gains tax, especially for California, the Golden State, doing very well, thank you very much, coming out of the pandemic into recovery. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.